Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Around the world. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and we have Deborah on this morning as a co-host, and I'm going to be leaving the show in their hands, and they're going to complete the actual program with Codependency No More. It's a three-part series that's been going on for a few weeks, and if you've been listening, I'm sure you've gotten some things that will help you change your life, better your life, and some messages that you can pass on to other mothers and daughters. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host, not for today. Cynthia Oliver is going to be your host, and Deborah. And I'm going to turn it over to them, and they'll do the prayer and lead you into the conclusion of Codependency No More, Part 3. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm great. You and Deborah have a good show.
Absolutely. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Let me do this. There you go.
Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay.
So, good morning, Deborah. I'm going to have you go ahead and do the prayer, if you would, please.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you to shed some light on codependency today. We thank you that you thought it not robbery to trust us to do this assignment. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We thank you for every word, every deed will be glory to you. We thank you for everything, Lord. We love you. We adore you, Lord. Help the people understand codependency and the part they play, and help them understand there's some help, Lord. We ask that you would show up and we would decrease. We ask that you would give us what we need, and the people will be blessed, and we be forever mindful, Lord, to give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. Bless every person that's a part of this, every person that's listening, Lord, every person that had the intent to listen but couldn't get on. We thank you in advance for them. One day they will come to join us. We thank you. We love you. Once again, Father, all glory belongs to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah, for that awesome prayer. Deborah, you know, as we got off the radio last week, I was thinking that, you know, in being leaders and being mothers and being daughters, we cannot teach anyone else how to be a good steward over what God has given us. Children are a gift to us. And by the way, audience, this is going to be a 30-minute show today as opposed to an hour. I just want to put that out there before we go on. This is a third part series of Codependency No More, so we're going to wrap it up. We're going to go straight to the point. As I was saying, Deborah, I could not even think about attempting to teach someone how to be healthy without thinking about how it affects the entire family and what happens when we don't do our due diligence to go back and get the pieces of our own lives so we can deal with our own woes in order to raise up healthy children and raise up healthy daughters. We cannot do that in the absence of teaching people how serious codependency really is. And codependency is not only affecting the person that's codependent, or it affects the entire family. This is a generational curse. This is and it's international. It's not just here in America. It's international. And I wanted to share a couple of things with the audience. And then, Deborah, I'm going to have you chime in on this if you can relate to any of what I'm about to say regarding children. It's an international thing. It's all over the world. Families and children are being affected by it. Children are like miniature little adults when they are in dysfunctional homes. They are always afraid of that their peers will find out. They're always afraid of abandonment issues. They have abandonment issues. Family or their mothers and fathers are suffocating them in these situations. The effects on children linger long after they've grown up and left the problem family. Children are expected to be perfect, so they grow up with a sense of being a perfectionist, which is actually a relentless striving for excellence. Can you relate to any of that, Deborah?
Wow. I tell you, you know, just you know, recently I've come to discover that there's some issues that I hadn't processed, and I allowed myself to self them and occasionally talk about it to certain people. And I realized that in talking about it, it helps me understand the different predicaments I found myself in as a child, and also like the issue with the molestation and the family. It never occurred to me that the individual probably was dealing with some inadequacies or low self-esteem at a young age, because she was 18 and I was 9, and I want to say medically she was labeled slightly retarded. And so I knew there was an issue there. But also I come to understand that I didn't process it until I began to get older and began to start talking about it and sharing it, and because in my family, truth be told, is such a secretive family. It's secretive all the way down to, if we took family photos, where do we take them? Really, you can't say that? You know, and so I'm dealing with my own thing, with trying to ease things in and ease things out and say things, and that's why I said my mom ain't ready, because she's such a private person. It's like, but each day it gets better. So, you know, back to what I was saying, I realized that codependency is I was dependent on her to do something for me, and she was dependent on me to do something for her, which was both unhealthy, because what she was dependent on me for was abomination. You know, that sinful sexual ordeal, and I was dependent on money, because she used to, you know, like you say, break me off. And so growing up, I grew up dependent on women to give me money, incarcerated now. And so I'm just saying, all this whole series is just giving me some different perspective about the whole demonic thing, if I may say. And I'm learning now that, like I say, I spent a lot of time in prison, and 99% of the time, women took care of me. Me saying the man took care of them. But I was dependent on them to do for me. I'll be your baby. You got what I want. Hey, mister, you know the song 2-2-BB? I'll be your baby. Come spend on me. You got what I need. And so I learned that at an early age, and it's taken me probably like maybe just a few years ago to understand that you're responsible for what you need. You don't need to, you know, be using manipulative and all of that, trying to get people, you know, that was, you know, some luggage that I carried from that incident of being dependent on somebody that was abusing me. And
absolutely,
I'm still like just saying, wow, you know, I'm looking at a whole nother perspective now. How this thing carried over, not
And even also, it carried over in me, I got what you need, you like me, this type of admiration thing, you know. So it wasn't just the financial. It spilled over in a lot of areas because I really didn't get a chance to know me because I began to play a role before I knew who I was. And so I played so many roles, so when it was time to be me and for time for me to do for me and do all the things a woman's supposed to do for herself, I had to learn that all over again, and I'm still learning. You know,
absolutely.
I'm past the manipulative part. I don't ask nobody for nothing. I don't take nothing. I always try to judge my motives. Why you like that? You know, even with guys, you know, this one guy still said, I gotta get you a graduation gift, and you know what I'm saying? I'm good. You know, but you got a little spark in me saying, just get it. You know, I'm good, guy. You know what I mean? I'm working on some stuff. You know, don't think, because I don't give you a conversation, you say, you're going to buy me something. Remember, I used to, before, young and all the way up, I would dance to your music because you're going to give me something.
Right. And it's great that you're mindful of that, Deborah, but also be cognizant of the fact that you can stop your own blessing by not learning how to receive properly. He may or may not have a hidden agenda, but that's where the discernment comes in. You have to discern if that is the case. But don't do it out of fear of he has a hidden agenda. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But I wanted to touch bases when you said the word secret. We're only as sick as our secret. Therefore, it is our secrets that keep us sick. And parents need to know that and understand that without a doubt. We're only as sick as our secrets. Therefore, it is our secrets that keep us sick, and that is in the household where children are being parentified. People tend to obsess over what's going on in the house. There's low self-esteem, and so many of us in those houses where those secrets prevail. We become people pleasers, as you were. We lack boundaries, as you demonstrated. Not only you, me. Reactivity. We react to everything in life, but not in a proper way. We don't know how to respond to life. We just react to life. Even in what could be good, we make it out to be something that it may or may not be. There's a control issue. Not only controlling trying to control the outside, but trying to control things that we don't even need to control. There's a dysfunctional way of communicating, and then denial plays in all of that. You cannot deny any of those things because that goes back to the secret thing. And this is the thing that keeps our families sick for so many generations. This is a generational curse, and this concept applies right here, right now. Yesterday's smothering colds, the unresolved feelings and unexamined messages create today's fire. Left unresolved, it'll either work it out or you will live it out. And we are all subject to living out our past and our secrets if we do not deal with the mothers. And I keep my models for dealing and teaching codependency is Whitney Houston and her daughter, Anna Nicole Smith and her son. And I also use a young lady by the name of Amy Winehouse. I know most of you audience know who she is as well. She was a famous singer. And I heard a comment that her father made, that his biggest fear and his greatest fear was that she was going to die out there. See, this girl had stuff. She had a whole lot of monies and a whole lot of stuff, but there was something broken on the inside and the emotional stuff that she never dealt with that took her to there. You know, it took her to that place of no return, unfortunate, the substance abuse. All of these mothers, both of these mothers, Anna Nicole, Whitney Houston, all of these had some underlying issues. They had a whole bunch of stuff. They had a whole bunch of money, but they were on a destructive path because they were codependent on people in their lives, on stuff, and unfortunately their demise came as a result of not only their demise, but their children's demise. Do you see the danger here? The mother and the daughter. Ask the mother, so is the daughter. And obviously ask the mother, so is the son in this case, because the mother died just like the son died. And then the opposite with Whitney Houston, the daughter died just like the mother died. Do you see the danger in this? And it is so prevalent, and it is so real, and we don't deal with these issues. We don't talk about these issues because guess what? It's that secret thing.
Yeah.
That keeps that thing going. It is so interesting. You want to chime in on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, like I say, I have that in my family with the secrecy. I mean, down to the little petty minor things. Just like I said, we took a family photo portrait, and somebody on my job asked me, oh, that's nice. Where can I? And my sister, you got a big mind. And I said, you know, I don't get it. You know, mind you, I've been gone a long time, and I just came back on the scene, you know, and so I didn't grow up in the house, and I'm still learning everybody. And matter of fact, we might be closer now than we ever been, but I'm still learning everybody. And I'm saying, my God, I said, what happens when the book come out? Because the book coming out, you know, that point, you know, you read it or you don't. You don't even matter, because at that point, hey, I'm me, and like you say, people need to know. People need to know that there's things that's going on in the dark that would carry you 2 or 3 decades if you don't deal with it. You know, like
absolutely.
I say, I'm 51 now, and I'm still looking the perpetrator. I'm just looking the perpetrator in the face like last 6 months now, and God is just doing an awesome thing because I'm able to look in the face and forgive her and get past it and say, Lord, she don't know now what she do, you know.
Oh, come on now.
And able to process it and not let it cause the bridge, because there's a day coming that I'm going to have a conversation.
Absolutely. And it's called healing, Deborah. God has healed you, and that's why you're able to look at your sister and be okay in her presence. Because if you had not reached that point, you would be angry in her presence. You wouldn't be trying to be in her presence. Nevertheless, make her your friend and your sister, who she is, because that thing reaps habit with you. That torment reaps habit with you, and you. There's no way you can be in their presence if you have not been healed without being angry and not wanting to hurt somebody. I know this from my own past.
Yeah, it was my auntie, and so she's like I say, she was labeled slightly retarded, and you know, and like I said, here we go. I just been visiting her in the nursing home. She's been in nursing home since maybe September last year. I've been going down, I catch a flight or catch a bus and go down there and buy whatever she wants and go eat with her and sit with her and talk with her. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying, I forgive you. I'm saying in my head, I forgive you.
Amen.
And in my mind, I'm wondering, you know, do you still remember, you know, why did you do it? I have some questions you know, and I would love to process that with her, you know, just to let her know that, you know, you if you ain't got no help, you still got that issue.
Well, here's the thing, Deborah.
It's going to go away.
Here's the thing, Deborah. Her, if she's cognitive and able to process this with you, and she may not want to process this with you, as long as you have processed it, as long as you tell her, I forgive you, because Scripture teaches us, if you have an ought without brothers and sisters, you should, especially if you're taking the time to go down and talk to her and why not. Because let me tell you something. One thing about doing sin nature, nobody knows why they do what they do. You can ask her that question all day long. You may never get that answer. And if that's what you're looking for, baby, you might be waiting until Jesus come again, because sin nature, we don't know why we do the things that we do. But here's the thing, and that's why you said it best. Forgive her, for she know not what she do. Because if she knew better, ain't no way she would have done it. There is no way in heck she would have done what she did if she knew better. And then you have to have the conversation, reason it out in your mind. Hurting people hurt people. Perhaps what was done to you was done to her. People, all this behavior is learned behavior. People molest people oftentimes because they themselves were molested. People turn to opposite sex because oftentimes they've been hurt by the opposite sex or the same sex. So you have to understand what happened to you ain't really about you. That person, like you said, was trying to meet a need.
Mm-hmm.
And her need was whatever the sexual, however, you got to understand, however your sexuality is awakened, oftentimes you play that thing out in your life. Sex was meant to be beautiful. It was meant to be between a man and a woman. But the world and all of their sin nature has tainted what God meant to be beautiful. Because hurting people hurt people. People who molest little children oftentimes will molest themselves. So if you're trying to get an answer as to why she did it, she ain't got the answer. Think about the things you've done. Do you know why you did it? We think we know why we did it, but is that really the reason why we did it? Or were we simply trying to meet a need? Think about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, wow.
And we're going to go ahead and go through these. I'm going to have you, Deborah, turn to Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Let's talk about these verses and how it applies to codependency.
Okay,
we have about 9 minutes. We have about 9 minutes, so I definitely want to go through those verses to let people know that God knew about codependency over 2,000 years ago. Psychologists came out thinking that they had discovered a new illness, if you will, because the psychology call it an illness, codependency. They call it an addiction, codependency. And so let me just school the audience. Codependency was thought about over 2,000 years ago in Galatians 6, 1 through 5.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 1 through 10. So when you get there, Deborah, let's talk about these scriptures.
I'm there. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Think about that. Hurting people hurt people because they are tempted to do often the same thing that was done to them.
Mm.
Verse 2 tells us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But it gets better. Because God tells us what that particular verse means a little further down. Verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. In other words, if we think we're better than the person who hurt us, ha, think again. Because we all fall short. We've all done things that we don't understand why we've done them. Verse 4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. We all think our stuff ain't as bad as somebody else's stuff.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Verse 5, for each one should carry their own load. In other words, when you think about what you've done. You ain't got time to be trying to crucify anybody else. And for some reason, I skipped verse 6. Do you have verse 6 there that you can read for me? It's not on my PowerPoint.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and read verse 6?
Yes. Verse 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share good things with him, with his instructor.
Okay. In other words, we're talking to read that one more time. Let me bring that to the table. Read that one more time for me.
Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor.
For me, that is saying that people who share wisdom and knowledge with you, you are to, and that's why God tells us to rightly divide the word. In other words, when people have enlightened you, you let your instructor know that he or she has brought light to you. And so when we can honor those people, we honor those people because they have helped us shed the light on our situations. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. What does that say to you, Deborah? A man reaps what he sows.
Whatever you plant.
In this content of codependency.
Whatever you plant in this context of codependency is going to grow. If you plant a lustful, sinful acts, it's going to grow.
Absolutely.
If you plant manipulative behavior, whatever, it's going to grow. Whatever you put down is coming up.
Absolutely. And so, therefore, whatever was put on your aunt was put onto you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it grows. It festers, and it just infects the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, whosoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whosoever sows to please the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. So you're reaping mm-hmm. eternal life right now, Deborah, by finding forgiveness for your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And if getting the answer as to why she did it is more important than just forgiving her, then,
it's not.
I don't know. Okay, because you may never get the answer because she don't know why she did it. And she and her sharing her, just ask her, Auntie, tell me about your life. You will find the answer right there. You will find the answer right there. Because you will know where the dysfunction stemmed. You've been in a family of dysfunction your entire life. If this thing was going on in your family, this is a systemic issue. This is not an auntie issue. This is a family issue. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You didn't give up, Deborah. You found healing because you kept pressing forward. You kept pressing forward. And last but not least, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Whether your aunt is a believer or not, God would have you to forgive her. And I hear people and clients say all the time, how do you forgive people? It is a choice.
Yep.
I remember going up into my church, and we're short on time, but I'm going to try to get the story in as quick as possible. I remember going into my church. I had been at that church for 19 years. I have never saw my perpetrator in that church. This weekend, I had gone through a tremendous triumph. Something happened that just devastated me. And I went to church that Sunday. And when I walked in the door, the guy who raped me when I was 22 years old was an usher in the church all of a sudden. Never saw this man in the church. But this particular Sunday, he meets me at the door and escorts me to my seat. I said to myself, if I ever saw him again, that I was going to kill him. And for about 6 months, I was pissed off when I went to church. And one day, I had the nerve to go up to him because they have a segment where you walk around and they tell you to say, I love you to somebody. I made it my mission to say, go up to him, gave him a church hug, if you will, and said in his ear, I forgive you. I never had a bad feeling from that man from that day to this one because I simply chose to forgive him. Forgiveness is a choice, and it will free you to be the best that you can be and that you can love your aunt, that you can love the people who have hurt you in the past because then you can forgive yourself for the people you have hurt in the past.
Amen.
And that's my story. And Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being my co-host. Dr. Fletcher is on her way to a conference. Guys, keep her lifted up in prayer for her conference. And I just want to thank the audience for being with us. It is now 10:30. I was told that we only had a 30-minute segment today, and I just want to thank the audience for being with us. Deborah, thank you for being with us. If you wanted to say anything before we sign off.
No, I just want to say thank you for the enlightenment. Thank you for, you know, breaking it down from a psychological point of view, you know, a spiritual point of view. Thank you. And I just want the audience to know that I have forgave my auntie, and occasionally I visit her and go down and pamper her and all of that. And, you know, of course, when I look at her, the thoughts come. But in my heart, I don't hold nothing against her, you know, because she's a believer. She was struggling way back when then she was supposed to be, you know, running for the Lord, and I guess she had her issues. And I understand we all have some things that we need to press out, and I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to see my flaws before I see the world's flaws. And let
Amen.
Me deal with, and work on me, and because that's a job that I have. Thank you, Lord, that
Amen. And every time you pamper her, you are reaping coals on her head, as Scripture tells us to. You don't have to say a word, because one thing about dysfunction, you never forget it. You never forget the things that you've done, and you don't have to remind her. Every time you pamper her, you're reminding her the love of Christ. And that's our job. Because if he can forgive us, we certainly need to learn to forgive each other. And that's our show audience. Thank you, Deborah, for joining us. And I love you. We love you, audience. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.